All right, well, let's look at the story tonight of a fool and his money. There's a saying about that. Yeah. Well, there was a parting here. We're going to look in 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel 25. And notice beginning in verse 1. Now, this is a lengthy chapter, so we probably won't read the entire chapter with you standing. You may get weary. So we'll read a portion of it, and then we'll come back and hit some more in a moment. But if you're able, would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word? And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him at his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand, unto thy servants and to thy son David." And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. Well, let's pray together. Father, we're grateful for the Word of God. We pray tonight you give us understanding and speak to our hearts, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right, so a couple thoughts here. First off is that Samuel has died. Samuel has been obviously a very central figure in our study of 1 Samuel. That, I guess, goes without saying, maybe. But now he's departed from the scene. He's an old man, and you can see the respect that he's given because all of Israel gathers for his funeral. And there is great lament and mourning, and they buried him. And so Samuel had a good reputation. He was a good man. You know, in all of Scripture, he's one of the ones that stand out. And we know he wasn't perfect. His sons were not good men. They were evil. But Samuel was a good man, and so he is honored in a great way at the point here of his death. Now, Fred, if you've got that. All right. Thank you, brother. You're sharp, man. I'll tell you what. And so David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. Now, Paran is one of the areas where the children of Israel wandered. Okay, when they were coming out of Egypt and they were coming to the Promised Land, they wandered there. And so this is you can see here in the map, you can see the direction the children of Israel went. And this is the area where they wandered, the wilderness of Zin and the wilderness of Paran. And so what you're going to get from this is that this is way south, okay, of Israel itself. There's a saying in Scripture you'll see sometimes. It will say, from Dan to Beersheba. Okay? And that means from the utter north all the way to the deep south. This is further south. Okay? This is further back in the Sinai Peninsula. So the children of Israel have, you know, they've wandered all through here. Here's Kadesh Barnea, where they had sent the spies into the land. And the spies had come back with the evil report. Remember that story? Good, thanks. Appreciate that. Okay, zoom back out, Fred, if you would. All right. And so here is, you know, Israel itself. Here's Jerusalem, Hebron. Here's Beersheba. Okay, that's that southern point of Israel. And this is the wilderness of Zin. This is the wilderness of Paran. So you can kind of get a sense of how far David goes. Now, David has already spent time over here in the city of Ziklag among the Philistines to get away from Saul. He's already done that. That didn't work out too well. He had some issues there. And then he's been down by the Dead Sea, which is here, the Salt Sea or Dead Sea, and Engedi, which is down in this area. And he had been there just previous to this. But now once Samuel has died, he takes off. And he goes down into this area. We don't know exactly where this was. But go to the next slide there. This is a picture of the countryside there. And it's said that the land is so barren that any soil that develops, the wind just blows it away. So as a result, what you have is pretty much gravel. Okay, it's just rocks. And very dry, very barren. Give us the other picture there. And this is just out looking across there. And, some hills and whatnot. But it is a desert-like environment. Now, Nabal, go back to the map for just a moment, Fred. Nabal lived in Carmel. Now, this is not Mount Carmel. Some of you will remember the story of Elijah on Mount Carmel, 1 Kings 18, the confrontation with the prophets of Baal and Ahab and all that. That's in the north of Israel. That's up in Galilee, overlooking the Jezreel Valley. This, and so that would be up farther even than this shows, probably. So Carmel is going to be in the south of Israel, probably in this area somewhere. So it's a distance from where David is staying. But given the conditions, most likely if this man had, what do we see? He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. Now that all sounds well and good. Until you look at the countryside and you think, where am I going to find grazing for 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats? So most likely, he had those animals scattered over a pretty broad area. And so David and his men were there in that area. And while they were there, they provided protection. They were there and they took care of those shepherds. They made sure that, you know, no one came in, stole sheep, stole the goats. And so they have done a great work for Nabal. You know, David spends about 10 years of his life on the run. I mean, you know, imagine any 10-year period of your life where you're just literally on the run. You're always in danger. You're always looking over your shoulder. You're always knowing, man, today Saul could catch up with me. It could happen today. I could lose my life today. And so he's kind of lived a little bit of a Robin Hood life. You know, it's kind of a little bit of that kind of existence. But here he's providing a service to Nabal. Now, you know, from the sound of it, just reading the text, there's no formal agreement between them. There's no nothing there that you know, Nabal had said, okay, you provide protection and I'll pay you so many head of sheep or what, you know, there's nothing like that. But, you know, in any venture where you're raising livestock, you know that you're going to lose some here and there. Sickness to theft to whatever. Well, in an environment like that, I would think you could lose a lot. So it's pretty valuable what David is providing. But then notice a couple of details here in this story. It says here, verse 3, the man, name of the man was Nabal. And Nabal, the name, literally means fool. I mean, I don't know if, you know, when you were born and your mother looked into your face and said, let's name this one fool to go with his brother idiot. Or, you know, I don't know how they, you know, if they had name books in those days that they consulted or what exactly went on there, but they named him fool. And oddly enough, it fit him perfectly. He was a fool. The Bible says that he was churlish. In the King James, it says churlish. And, you know, the thing about that is that it just means he was hard to get along with. He was hard to deal with. He was hard to do business with. He was a harsh man. And then the second word that describes Nabal is that he was an evil man. He was churlish and evil in his doings. So that's a part of our story. The other part of our story that's pretty significant is he was married to a woman named Abigail. And, you know, think Beauty and the Beast here. Okay? Except there's not a happy ending for the Beast in this story. Okay? It's pretty much, it ends badly. Well, Abigail was a beautiful woman. And also, she was very wise. She had a lot of insight. And that plays into our story in a large way. All right, so let's just kind of retrace this. Nabal has set out to shear his sheep. And of course, that's, you know, if you've got sheep, then you're looking for something in return from them, right? And either you want the wool, you want offspring, you want meat, or you're going to sell them and you're going to make money off of them. But, you know, you don't just raise sheep because you love animals. You raise sheep to make a living, and Nabal was doing that. Well, he had large herds. Came time to shear, and he sent his men to shear the sheep, and David heard about this. So he sent 10 of his young men, it says. And he told them what to say. Go to Nabal, greet him in my name, and, you know, explain. You know, we've been with your shepherds. We've protected your shepherds and your flocks, your herds, and they've lost nothing. And, you know, we just wondered if maybe you might have a little something to, you know, to bless us, you know, just for helping out with your herds and flocks. And so they go, and it's, you know, it's a fairly reasonable request. I mean, even if Nabal had responded in, you know, a minor way, just something small, you know, it at least would have acknowledged what they had done. But instead, Nabal's response is harsh. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says of him. Who is David, verse 10? Who is the son of Jesse? He's just another servant who's run away from his master. What do I owe to him? Nothing. And so I'm not going to take my herds, my flocks, and give to them. Well, let's pick it back up in verse 13. We're going to keep reading. Now, you may stand if you wish, but I'm not going to. You know, that's totally up to you. I'm standing, though, by the way, just for the record, for all of you legalists out there. All right, thank you. Verse 13, and David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them." I mean, he just attacked them. He jumped on them. "But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." So here they come to Abigail and they say, Mistress Abigail, we need to tell you about what's just happened. And they start relating the story. Now, here's one thing that Abigail well knows by now. She's married to this fool. I mean, we're not supposed to call people fool, but in this case, I think it's okay. That was his name. But she knows what the guy's like. And so they say, "Evil is determined against our master and against all his household." And notice the description here. In the verse, end of verse 17. "For he is such a son of Belial." Such an evil, wicked man. "That a man cannot speak to him." Well, it paints a pretty clear picture of what this guy was like. And so, let's notice Abigail's response here. Verse 18. "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses." Now, first of all, let me just say, when you turn to your servant and say, "Well, gather up whatever we've got ready," and they come back with 200 loaves of bread, that tells you something. There was some industry in this house. There were some things going on because from the sound of it, that stuff was already present, ready, and so she gathers it up. Verse 19, "And she said unto her servants, 'Go on before me. Behold, I come after you.' But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, 'Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertaineth unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto all the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall.'" Now, I think we understand that that expression today is considered vulgar, and so it's not really used anymore. But in the King James translation time, that was not considered something to be vulgar. So, and we see the same expression again later in the chapter. Well, when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. Well, it's quite a speech. And Abigail hits on some really strong points here. She acknowledges, first of all, she says, blame me. She's not even coming. And I mean, she acknowledges her husband is a fool. He's a foolish man. But she said, blame me. Let this be on me. And then if you'll notice, she references the Lord a lot. She talks about the Lord. You know, that's one of the neat things about folks who believe in God, is that they talk about God. That just naturally comes up. And it should. You know, when we talk about sharing our faith and witnessing and everything, well, it ought to be a natural thing that we talk about the Lord. How God's blessed us, or how He's taken care of us. And so Abigail continues here. And notice what she says about David. You know, she talks about David, verse 28. The Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee. You know, she is recognizing something of David's calling and his purpose in being. And then later on, she acknowledges that he will be the ruler. Verse 30, shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. And she says, in that day, when you are appointed ruler, this will be a blessing. If you have not shed blood for no reason, if you have not taken revenge. And so notice David's response, verse 32. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. And may I just say, David takes the typical approach that men do when women offer advice. Okay, maybe not. But perhaps, fellas, we can learn from David here. Blessed be thy advice. Abigail had some good stuff. So, listen to the ladies in your life, whether it's your mom or your wife or whoever it is, listen to those ladies. And they'll have some good things for you. Verse 34. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And so, conflict is resolved, everything is good. And notice verse 36. Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spoke unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Well, so here we find kind of an interesting way to wrap this story. It turns out to kind of be a love story, but not your typical one. Nabal is struck when he hears the news. Abigail comes in and says, Nabal, I've got a few things I need to talk to you about. And, you know, he just had it coming off of a big drunk, probably hung over. And suddenly here she begins to deliver the news of what she had done. She said, Yesterday I heard how you had treated the men that David had sent. And so I took it upon myself to send food and to keep them from coming and wiping you and every man in our household out. And when he heard the news, when she told him what had happened, it says that his heart stopped. Now, we don't know medically, you know, we'll let Shannon explain what happened to this guy and why he died, but it just says that his heart died within him and he became as a stone. So perhaps he had a stroke, perhaps he, you know, had some kind of a heart. But he did last for 10 days. But God struck him. And so it's very reminiscent of the story that Jesus told of the man who said, Man, I've got so much stuff coming in this year. I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build some bigger barns. I've got so much stuff. I don't know where I'm going to put it all. But in the meantime, time to party. Eat, drink, and be merry. Have a fun time because we've got everything taken care of, everything we could ever want. But God said, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall all this be? And so Nabal has he's got some relations. There's still some Nabals running around today. And look, you know, we should not envy those with great wealth and great riches. Some of them we should pity because they're related to Nabal and they don't have the sense to get on their knees and confess that they need God, turn to the Lord. Well, so it's kind of an interesting thing. Makes for a pretty interesting story that David comes out of this deal with some provision for his men, which, you know, 600 guys would eat quite a lot. So that would be a challenge to feed those men, and especially in that part of the world they're in. But he also comes out of this with a wife. And Abigail was a beautiful woman. And, you know, what possessed her to say, yeah, I want to go off into the desert and live this kind of a crazy life, you know. But I think after what she'd had, she was more than ready. I mean, it sounded like she was more than ready. She said, I'll wash the feet of your servants. It sounded like she was ready to get out of Nabal's household and get away from that mess. Well, folks, God has a way of providing, taking care of us. And Abigail's, you know, we don't know a lot about her, but There's some really neat things that we see in her character. And I think it's encouraging to us that God provides, God blesses us, God protects us when we seek to honor Him. So, in the meantime, David's still a fugitive. He's still wanted by the king. And so that part of the story continues. But we're coming down toward the end of the first book of Samuel. So some of that's about to be resolved. All right. Well, I know that just inspired you to repent of all your foolishness. Okay, just a second, Zach. We're nearly done, brother. Well, let's close in prayer. And let's just thank the Lord for ministering to our hearts and our souls, giving us the peace of God, giving us direction in life, helping us with needs that we have, and thank Him that He is sufficient tonight. So take this moment and just thank God for blessing us, for providing for us, for caring for us, helping us with what we need tonight. And then maybe there's things in your life that are needs. You've got some things that are ongoing. You need God to work. Something in your family, something in your health, your finances maybe. Let's take that to the Lord in this moment. As we bow, let's just take those things to God. Give it to Him. Lay it at His feet. Trust Him with it. Maybe there's some things in your heart that you know shouldn't be there. You want to get some things right with God tonight. I want to encourage you to take it to the Lord. Surrender it to Him. Give it up. If you need to come to this altar, if you need someone to pray with you, come.